let's go to our cellar.
I generally wouldn't use anything that was foraged out of someone's bush.
If you feel the need for solids, you can get some here.
I mean, I was holding the meat cleaver at the time. Stay away from anything controversial. Just focus on making people happy.
Oh, yeah, that does not pass the sniff test, but it's going in.
Not the first restaurant I've had to sleep in, not the last.
For Simon Carlo, we do it.
Hello, this is me at One Veg Podcast with me, Simon Carlo. And today, for the intro, we're joined by Brad Carter.
Hello. And a martini.
And a martini. A martini's for me, not for Brad.
Yeah, I've got service tonight, sir.
Brad was way busy pointing out the what he thought was the Malvern Hills, but in turn, turns out to be the Glens Hills.
I'm high, man. What can I say? I don't mean in that way. I mean, I'm high up. And like, I'm a Brummie and it's just straight. That's all we do. That's why we know where Cornwall is.
We're in the clouds.
It's just one road. And I was just like, look straight. As soon as I looked out, I was like, there they are. Look, but it's obviously the opposite direction.
So we're in 18, where Carters have got a residency at the moment. We'll come on to that shortly, I think. But how's it going here, Brad?
It's great. I really enjoy being in town. It's the first time ever for us, you know, apart from little bits and bobs with other people who've got places. But it feels like a bit of a new market. We're getting familiar faces, obviously. But Saturday night we had, out of the 18 on the second sitting, there was 10 people I'd never met before. So you can tell it's worth us keep being here. And the actual space is great anyway, as you know. It's been nice to be in the mix and moving forward and where we're heading. So that's a nice little advert.
I come here to provide the riffraff.
And then I came to the top.
And then you came through. I'm guessing you can walk to work from here?
Yeah, 10 minutes.
10 minutes?
Yeah.
Not driving?
No driving. I'm saving fuel. I'm gone eco. And my watch is telling me every time I get to the front door, it's bang on a kilometre. So it's extra steps as well. You know, it's all good for the ticker.
10 minutes walk or about, 3.5 minutes on one of those Boris bikes?
Or an hour to Westlands.
Or an hour to... Yeah. I know. We did that journey to Westlands. Fuck me.
Yeah.
I remember the journey there.
Yeah.
The weather being particularly bad. I don't remember the journey back. But that might have been to the fact that Holly gave us a litre of Negroni to drink.
Yeah, more than
likely.
Wine for the car.
And wine for the car.
Car wine.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the trip. It's actually not a nice drive through Studley and everything, and that never got old. It was just when the winter kicked in and it was getting late and we were leaving there, that's when I started to think, it's quite far now, this is.
I think that's a good segue now. Back in the autumn, we recorded with Brad at Westlands. When we have a chat about a few things, Brad talks about his love of ingredients and it's a great listen. So we're going to use this opportunity to pop over now to Westlands and we'll pick up with you soon.
Excellent.
We're presently sat in a greenhouse in Evesham.
Not just any greenhouse.
Not just any greenhouse, it's worth saying. We'll get on to that in a second.
A lot of greenhouses in Evesham as well.
I mean, by the time this goes out, Carters at Westlands will be no more. Last service will be New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
But what a fucking place this is.
Yeah, I think it won't be, and it's gone on longer than we expected, and that's down to our love of being here, the customers' interaction and the new customers that we've gained being here. But it's such a special time for our brand and what we stand for and what we believe, and I always wanted it to be limited edition kind of thing. I wanted it to feel like you saw it, you found out about it, and then it was gone.
Yeah.
And that's the magic of it. But this place for me is so important for what I do, the menu that I produce, the food that I produce now, to what I cook. And Will, the owner, this has always been a beautiful dream of mine to be here cooking and harvesting to order with the produce. The Vale of Evesham is the most fertile soil in the UK. So being surrounded by all this amazing life and plants, it's basically as good as the protein. So we're like, okay, let's flip it on its head, relax what we already do, find new creativity and focus on that. And it's been really valuable for us. I think we're going to bring a lot more back to what we already do.
Yeah, so we're going to have a walk around the grounds in a minute, and you're going to show me some cool herbs. Effectively, what we're in is a greenhouse.
Yeah.
It's basically
a huge one.
It's a massive greenhouse. It's crazy. And then, yeah, what hit me immediately when we came in was that smell, that fresh fragrance.
You can smell all the different flowers, but I always feel the energy when I walk in from the plants. You know, it's something you don't get. I'm a city boy through and through, you know. I love the city, but being here, I've really appreciated things that I wouldn't normally get to do. Even though I've used the produce 13 years, comes in a little punny and my brain's thinking about what I'm going to do with it, but I'm here, I can run over, I can chop something, I can try it. It's like, and I'm already getting the inspiration through the smells.
Has this helped you come up with, like, new ideas constantly?
Completely. The idea was that we did not allowed to do anything we'd done before, including the chicken, which upset a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I was like, we've just got to go there and we've just got to create, because that's the whole point. And what we'll do is find new stuff, which we have, that we can bolt onto what we already do.
100%.
And then it just gives us a bit of another layer.
Have you tried anything that you like, God, that I can't fucking
the olive plant.
That?
The olive plant. It's unbelievable, mind-blowing.
The olive plant, which we just tried, tastes like olive oil. Olives with mixed herbs in.
Yeah. Like marjoram and
it's fucking herb oil. Bonkers.
So we, because we don't use anything from abroad, I've tried that and I was like, I'm gonna cook it into oil. Did that and we've ended up creating what I think is British olive oil. These are cardamom leaves, so these are edible as well. We use these for like one of the treats on the pastry section at the moment. So we don't get any seeds in the UK, but we get these amazing leaves that they're so floral and like orangey and almost soapy.
Yeah. Right.
Smell that. So we basically, we can dry them out or we can infuse them into stuff. We've actually wrapped fish in them as well to grill it.
That would be
wonderful. And then you peel it back so you get all, and then obviously we got the apple blossom. So wanted to create a bit of an entrance, but also we wanted to keep the rustic charm of the farm. Because the reason I love coming here is it feels like it's worked, you know, it feels like there's action, there's like people doing amazing stuff, you know, working day and night to get this produce how it is.
Did it get hot in there in the summer?
It was, lunch wouldn't have been possible if it was too hot.
Really?
Well, I'm the good food guy lunch when we did the meet the chef, like we almost killed like 10 old people. Like, I had to carry them out of the fucking greenhouse. These are apple blossoms. They're Pagonia family, but they taste like Granny Smith apple skin.
How did you find this out, Brad?
Well, these are the you know, when you come to Carter's and I'm like, oh, you know, we don't use a lemon, we don't use a lime, but we started like growing this shit and doing this, and that this is how I've managed to
do it. They taste like pink lady.
Yeah, exactly like the skin. This is mackerel lime. So we've put a couple of trees in, so Thai limes, just to show them off. We've got a glass house full of these. So this is the only citrus that me and myself and Will, the owner, have managed to grow on mass. So we've got a glass house form. We do get fruits. You can see a couple on there. Look,
they're class.
But if you have a little, so you just get in there for that zest. Have a little sniff of that. Look.
Oh wow, that's
unbelievable.
It's like Thai food, isn't it?
That's it. It's exactly what it is. So they're like Thai chefs, cooks would infuse the leaves, chop the leaves really fine for garnish, and then fruit to the magic, so like use them for the zest and then use like the fruit, the inside, not much juice, but you can use the pulp for various things. We put in some nice little leaves for the salads, like little mustard leaves. Look at these. Like, look how stiff
they
are.
I love mustard.
When we pick them though.
They're so fresh.
Look. And like you cut, even in Birmingham, we're like 45 minutes away, right? I'll order it, it won't be like that.
That's bonkers. The intensity of flavour in that is insane.
And it's like we can start presenting leaves and salads in a different way because they're not, you know, they're not wilting, they're not old, they're like, we're literally cutting them as we go.
What is this?
Landcress.
Never even heard of this.
And it's just like, it's just a great, amazing herb, like something that you can use in so many different ways. This is this is actually being sold to like customers as well.
I don't know if it's a mushroom there, but to me that's got kind of apple-y taste to it. Yeah.
Again, like a soul flavour.
Yeah.
Which we grow a lot of, I'll show you them in a sec. This is apple marigold, so this has become a chef's favourite. It's got flavours of apple and mint. One thing that I'd never used until I came here was the flowers, because I've never been in the position to see the flowers come out. Yeah. I was like, you can use them flowers. I was like, right, so we'll try a leaf, right? This is actually what a lot of the chefs buy, so my mate Akhtar will have probably off this crop here in his kitchen. So try that.
Yeah, they've got the apple marigold dessert, haven't they?
Yeah.
The false apple.
Yeah, so this is like apple-y mint, if you smell it as well. They call it Mexican marigold.
You've really come into your own very unique kind of niche, haven't you, over the last few years?
I'd say so, yeah. I think this is like a driving force for me was to say, like, why, let's try and cut down the import of everything, because we got so close. I was like, let's just not do any. So we can't use certain things. It's so be it. We'll have to find a replacement. So then that kick-started with the foragers and with Will talking about what we can do in place of things. And that's become a real passion now. So like, that's something that it's a quest that I don't think is anywhere near finished.
And you think that creativity, for example, if you're not using processed sugar cane, if you're not using sugar in that sense, raw sugar, do you think it makes you more creative as a chef to have to look for alternatives immediately on that?
Of course, because it's like, we haven't got the option of just doing the easy thing, you know. We're pushed into a corner and we're like, ultimately we've got to make a replacement and find a different vibe, and it's hard, but ultimately that's a harder, longer road. But when you get there, you're far more unique because you've got your own thing. But yeah, it's a beautiful place, isn't it? How can you not want to work here?
It's crazy.
And we've ticked it off now, job done. Something will always stay in the memory, bolstered the brand, not what we believe in, what we do. We've got a lot of nature-inspired stuff that we're going to take back to what we already do.
How did you feel about when... Because Michelin came and did it as a full new...
Full new star.
Yeah.
I recognised him and I was like, I'm sure he's Michelin. And I was like, because I've been doing loads of front of house. And I was like, how are you, sir? And I was like, long way. And he's like, I'll just come to here and I'm off. And I was like, yeah, he's Michelin. And then I was like... Holly went, I recognise when, yeah, he's been the Carters before. And I was chatting to him and he was asking me why I did it. He was asking me about next. And I said, the city. And he said, it's a great move for you, perfect. And then he was like, we'll talk about the produce. And I was going, oh, I'm getting goosebumps talking about it, the produce. And he went, I get goosebumps when I eat your food. And I thought, oh, that's what we want to hear. And then obviously we got an email 2 days later saying we need all the information on it. And then they've changed all the name and everything to it. So it's unheard of. I've normally put you on pause.
I've never seen that before. Yeah. That was bonkers when I saw it. It was like Carters at Westlands. It's fucking class.
Yeah. It shows that they've got our backs as well, which is nice, you know. Like, that's nice. We support them and they do the same for us.
That is absolutely delicious.
That's insanely delicious.
It absolutely bangs.
I can confirm that's absolutely delicious.
That is absolutely atrocious.
Brad's kindly let me and producer Simon join him for staff lunch today, which, off the back of the success of the cookbook Staff, both volumes.
You got both?
I have both, yeah, I do.
So good, I've only got one. If anyone wants to sell me one of them, I would actually pay pretty good money for that. It's the black one that I need, I haven't got one.
You gave me if I remember right, you sold me yours and Holly's copy of the black one. Yeah.
Well, that's what special friends are for, isn't it? That's what we do.
Which you can buy back if you want for an inflated price. the whole inside of the Staff cookbook, which is fucking fantastic, if you haven't got it. The inside of it features requests, doesn't it, for people asking to come for Staff dinner?
Yeah, the way it was born, like, so we've always had a good dinner. So when I was a young chef, I was just given rice with a different sauce every day. And it was lovely, I love rice, but at the end of the day, like, we're cooking really good food for people. And we should be fueling ourselves with good foods. That was my vision when we opened the restaurant 13 years ago. I was like, we're going to eat well. It's as simple as that. It took me about 4 years to start thinking, this is actually really good. And an ex-manager of mine just said, why don't you document this every day on the stories? Fill the Instagram with daily changing content. Obviously, I didn't think of that. And I thought, this is a good idea. So all we did was we started putting our dinner, one post with what it was, got a bit of traction, loads of people started asking us, can't wait for Staff tomorrow, built this bit of an Instagram following for it, and then we started doing the steps of the dish. So we plan what we're going to eat with the leftovers from the restaurant. That's the idea. So today we're going to eat the tails of the hake because they're not perfectly square enough to use in the restaurant, so then we use them for Staff. Same fish, just not the same execution, but same deliciousness.
Some of the dishes are a little bit out there, some of them more conventional. Yeah. But do you remember, like, and they must be featured in the Staff cookbook, was the first time you thought, God, this is a great one to eat for
everyone? I think, for me, I've been asked that before, and There's one thing in there. It's a bit of a mad one. It's called Chinatown chicken pie.
Yeah, yeah.
So for me, my love of, I grew up on like special curry fried rice from the local Chinese. I still love it now. I love the sauce. And then I love a pie because I'm Mr. British. And I was just like, one day we had this pastry to use up and we were knocking up this curry. And I was like, let's just put a lid on the curry. Let's just put the curry. You get curry pies down to football, obviously. And for me, it's like a lot of memories. It's like my growing up with that, it's pies and it's Chinatown, which I love. I frequent and eat there a lot. I think some of the best value food in Birmingham.
Shout out your favourite ones in China. Favourite. In Chinatown.
Ken Ho for a real restaurant experience. Top of the range Cantonese food, just like you would get if you visited the country, in my opinion. That for a nice sit down restaurant experience. Looking's my favourite roast meats place. Associated Peach Garden, a lot of people prefer that. Myself prefer Looking. Get there bang on 11:45 and you'll get the offals as well. Fresh as fresh. Suckling pigs on a Sunday and a Monday. I also really like Desu Noodles, the chicken.
I love that place.
A very under the radar little eat in Birmingham, like really good homemade hand pulled noodles in an amazing broth with. There's a special, it's like a cold braised chicken with Szechuan five spice. When I first had it, I love cold poached chicken as well, and I was like, this is amazing. And you struggle to spend £12, you know.
It's class. I mean, it's relatively well documented, your love of that style of cooking. Has that impacted your cooking as a chef?
I'll tell you what it does. One more is our chili kitchen. Unbelievable. Very spiciest restaurant in Birmingham.
Phil from Loki's taking me to Chili Kitchen for their husband and wife lung.
Yeah, the husband wife slices.
Yeah, they're
in chili oil. They're amazing. It's a cold dish. It's beautiful. It's one of my faves. And there's another one called Saliva Chicken, and it's got it's cold poached chicken in a broth with about, it must have 130 bird's eye chilies on the top.
Do you eat the chilies?
I eat a lot. Yeah, I shouldn't, because the next day I'm in agony, agony. All ends, all holes, all eyes, all mouths. For me, the food, what it does, because I've had focus on this ethos of what I do in the restaurant, it's so far away from what I do. So what I do find is, like, the inspiration that I find is the textures.
Yeah, yeah.
Because their foods are all about texture. And, like, in a Western way, you always think about, you do different textures, then you add something crispy, and then that's how you layer it. But there, it's completely different. You think about the texture of the protein, the vegetables. So that for me, is the biggest inspiration. So, did the chefs tell you what you've got?
Hake.
So we'll talk about it earlier. Hake tail. So what we do is, fill them with the garlic butter, loads of herbs from the grass house. Roll them together, and then he's obviously made them look really, if you could see them, how perfect they are and the shape of them. It actually looks like a panade mouse, large mouse, without the tail and the head. It's like the centre of the mouse.
It's a big bastard, isn't it?
And then hopefully when you cut it, it should ooze a bit. And then the salad is all grown on site by Westlands. There's the crisp green lettuce, which is absolutely amazing. I know OPM and Baked in Britain use that as well. Some of the kales, we got some little turnips that we grew ourselves in the little trolley over there, and then some other herbs, and feel free to help yourself to herbs because there's a million of them.
Synchronized. Right, so before we cut in, do you want the bigger one, by the way?
No.
Would you take it in turns of cooking stuff, dinner?
Yeah, so the idea is on a Saturday, we'd sit down and we'd do like a list of what's left to use, then we all pick a day. We only have desserts on Saturdays, it's the last day of the week, so we don't get fat.
Like me. This is so good.
To be honest with you, for us, like, we do this to enjoy eating. We all love food, that's why we work in our job and work for Carter's, you know, that's what it's all about. And this is quite simple, but it's actually a lot of work, a lot of restaurants put this amount of effort into staff dinner, and that's fair enough. Some people don't have time, but I feel like if you're going to expect people to cook at the highest level for customers, they've got to be fueled at the highest level.
That burger is insane.
Yeah, it's lovely. It's all the herbs in Westlands, you said.
Here's a random question for you. Do you think the quality of staff food is an extra incentive for someone to come to work?
Yeah, 100%. We get a lot of customers say, I'll come and work for you just for staff dinner on Instagram daily. Like you said about the comments in the book. We have to answer at people every day. Like,
we've discussed this before, but how many requests do you get for people to come and join you for staff dinner?
A lot.
It must be daily.
We've made someone's dream come true today.
Well, yeah.
Jim will fix it.
I did. The last time I wrote to Jim will fix it, it did not end well for me.
When I was a kid, I really wanted to go on it. And it was the only thing what my dad was like, you are not going anywhere near that. And I was like, now I know why.
Brad, you can go silly central. You are not sitting on Jimmy Savile's there. We set this podcast up just purely so we could, so I could facilitate
it. Dinner, yeah.
Yeah. It's not actually going out, Brad.
Just ghost me now. Text you. When's it coming out? Down here from you.
Pull it out just before it starts to steam.
Oh, honey, you're getting that so wrong.
Hey, go treat yourself.
That's skills.
You've always been kind of pioneering in your use of ingredients. Is there anything that you truly hate as a chef? Is there anything you won't eat?
It's like, I always fancy something different every day, like a variety. I love a variety. Like, it's hard, like, to eat the same thing every day. But there's nothing that I genuinely like, go, I cannot eat that, it's disgusting.
I remember sitting at the bar in Carter's when you were in Moseley in the previous place, and you sent out one of those dishes that you make a very, very tiny amount of that goes to, you know, people you know. It was the braised tripe of the scallop.
Scallop, yeah.
Yeah, which I have to say, in my opinion, one of the worst things I've ever eaten in my entire life. Ever. But you're into your kind of like dank, like murky tastes, aren't you?
Yeah. I think like, China, that's a Chinatown inspiration, that is. It's like, what are we doing with all these frills and things? I cooked that at the Sea last week, actually. The tripe. They loved it, the Portuguese lads. They were like, tastes like a braised pork dish we do back home.
Yeah, and it's got that kind of sea urchin vibe to it as well.
But like, it's got the depth of the brown dark meat of the crab, yeah.
But less glamorous.
I have served the milks out of the fish. You know what the milk is.
Oh, right? Yeah, like the sperm sack.
The semen. That's not for everyone. That's the challenge.
I've had milks and I hated it. I really hated it. Yeah, it's not for everybody at all.
But it's like, for me, if we're prepping the fish and we fight, we're like, yes! You know, it's a bit of another product.
So there was a cooking show on Netflix that had loads of people from all over the world on it. And there was an English guy who was cooking for Australia, and I don't know the guy's name, but when they cut into, I want to say it was a chicken, they found loads of, like, unborn babies. And they got, like, really excited over it. And I was like, oh, man, that is nasty. That is, like, really, really...
That's not a double yolk in Weatherspoon.
No, it's not a double yolk in Weatherspoon. But you served me that scallop dish, which will live long in the memory.
I'm glad it's lived in your memory, though. That's what, you know, if you serve a tasty menu, 15 items, somebody doesn't like one or two. Percentages, that's quite high of what people like, isn't it?
My ex,
still remember it.
My ex, who used to come with me to Carter's quite a lot, she had an appetite for pretty much absolutely anything in the world. And I remember me taking like a tiny spoonful of that scallop dish and saying, I can't eat this. And then her being the polite middle class girl that she was, she forced it down her neck. And then afterwards, when we were walking back, she was like, that's one of the hardest things I've ever eaten in my life.
I'm glad you came back after that.
You do a number of really cool gigs, don't you? So you do a festival every year. Well, you've done one for the last 2 years.
I've always like just been myself in my profile, and I just love my job. It's a lifestyle for me, and I like to integrate my lifestyle with my job. I think I don't really want to be. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I don't really feel comfortable being that kind of chef that we know.
Yeah.
I think you need to be yourself, right? That's how you feel happy, and that's how you feel, you know, you can express yourself better. So through that, I get asked to do things that I really like, which is unfortunate. So I cooked at Glastonbury, and I got to go. And I did some really nice food with my pizza brand company, Gosney. Which was amazing. And then I got to go to Ibiza with a set of people who live in all around the UK, London mostly, and all I've known in the rave scene and whatnot, and we got to go to Ibiza and do like a mini festival, which was I was literally peaked, you know, two of the things that I'd love to do, but I get to also do my job there as well, which is feed people. And like, that's what I've always loved about cooking. It's always been, for me, it's a life skill you can do anywhere, and like, it connects you. And we don't necessarily cook fancy food every time.
You're probably your food in Birmingham, aren't you? You know, you're Birmingham through and through. And one of the things that I always love about you is wherever I'm hungover on a Saturday morning, you pop up on Saturday Kitchen, you are always repping Birmingham one way or another.
It's just as soon as I open my mouth.
As soon as you
open subtitles on the screen. Like.
I love it. And you know, you wear local brands on there, and you constantly, if there's any champion of Birmingham in the hospitality scene, it's you.
Right. I think you should be proud of where you're from, who you are and what you believe. And I feel like we've got a city to be proud of.
I couldn't agree more.
And I feel like, obviously, the food scene's, it's as good as it can ever be. We've got a few gaps in the middle. I think there's a few restaurants that London have got that we could do with just to feed more people. That'll come. But I think we've got something to be really proud of. And back when I opened my restaurant 13 years ago, I mean, I was 27, I think it was 25. And the choice was one hand, you know, like there wasn't loads. And I feel like you've got to sometimes take a bit of a jump and take a bit of a risk, and it makes other people want to do the same. And I think that's what's happening, I'm all for it. I mean, the explosion of like the suburbs, like Sturgeley, and Moseley used to be like Sturgeley. Sturgeley's doing amazing things for local people.
Thanks so much for having us here. We've turned the tunes on. And as you're big into rave culture...
Might need to change the tune, and this is a sunset tune from
Ibiza. This is Ibiza sunset tune. Would you please do the honours and finish this week's podcast episode by blowing the air horn that's on the wall?
Any Frenchman out there listening to this would be like, what the hell have you just said?
I don't give a shit about the fish.
I think that air horn is still ringing in my ears.
Yeah.
I've still got tinnitus about that. What was the last... I saw you on Westerns on 29th of December. What was the last one like on New Year's Eve?
It was a raucous night. All the locals came. Because there's obviously... It's quite sleepy around there, which is why you move there, right? And they were like, oh, what are you doing for New Year's? And we were like, we're just going to do a dinner and then a bit... We just turn the music up. No live music. And... We got booked out, and then a few of the locals were there till, I think they left at 2:30 in the morning. And Holly made the worst decision that I went against, but she did it anyway. And she bought those cannons with the little star things in them. And I went, do not do them in the glass house. Anyway, they turned up, everyone did them, and we've been finding them here.
No.
At 18. That's what they get everywhere.
Westmans must have loved that.
Well, Will, obviously, he's a good mate of mine, and I called him on New Year's Day, and I was like, Happy New Year, and I went, do not go into Glasshouse City, all right, whatever you do. And he went, okay, I won't. And I went, just trust me, don't go in there until next week. We're going to go and clean it.
You got it clean-ish?
Yeah, we got it cleaned. Hoover.
So we're in the city centre. I think one of the reasons why we came back is because since the autumn, a couple of things have changed for you. You've got... I think there's some stuff you could allude to, some stuff you can tell us about. If you want to fire away, how's it going with the new site?
Yeah, so obviously the big process and the big plan for us was to relocate the restaurant to the city. Westlands was the only opportunity we were ever going to get to do it was last year. This was a good opportunity to get Westlands done. So we wound down in June, said, let's go for summer. That pretty much exploded right now. We didn't expect that to be so popular. Especially with the locals. We had a lot of our followers come. And then obviously we extended it till New Year's. And then we were thinking, around the time that I last saw you there, we were thinking, what are we going to do in between? We're working on a site, I can't say yet, but it's on this road. And we're working on that at the moment. And it's getting to the point of like becoming ours. In between, obviously, 18 was a good way for us to market to the city crowd and new customers and old alike. So that's why we decided to do this. There'll be a big building project behind that. So there will be a few months where we won't be available. So it's worth coming to see us here.
When are you here till?
We're going to be here till the end of April.
End of April?
/ May.
I need to get in and eat soon.
Yeah, soon. Whenever? So, tonight? Soon.
Tonight?
Actually, we just put the staff dinner on, so we've got Jamaican ox cheek curry today.
I will definitely be having a portion of that.
You'll
place.
Be having that.
Thank you. So you're here till end of April. When can we expect the new restaurant in town?
Fingers crossed, September.
September.
Yeah.
And what can you tell us about the new restaurant?
Ooh. It's slightly different to Carter's as you know it. It's going to always have the same bloodline and DNA, that's for sure. And it's going to be everything that we've always worked towards with our ingredients and specialising. Hopefully the main restaurant, Carter's as we know the restaurant now, we're trying to downscale it a little bit to refine it even more and make it a little bit more a little bit more to it, add some layers. And then we are also doing another restaurant amongst it, which is going to be us, but twice a week. So it's going to be really exciting.
I've heard the plans. They sound insane. I think it's, without giving too much away, you can say that you're catering for probably you one restaurant will cater for a slightly more casual clientele. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think the same customers, I think the interest will be for both. But instead of just coming to us, you know, for a special occasion, you'll be able to use us more frequently and still enjoy our food, but maybe in more relaxed style. I mean, look at the staff dinner, how popular that is. I'm not saying it's going to be as casual as that. It's definitely not. But it's just going to make you be able to come and see us a little bit more often.
Yeah, I can't wait. Really, I can't wait.
We've already got
them.
One of the chairs has got your name on it already.
I'm going to hold you to that, Brad. Yeah.
I think Ozzy Osbourne's got a bench now. That why can't you have a stall in my restaurant?
I would love a stall in your restaurant. Thank you. One thing that we spoke about before we turned the mics on, one star Donabar.
Oh yeah, back from the dead.
It's coming back from the dead.
It sure is. In a big style.
City Centre?
City Centre, confirmed.
Confirmed?
Yeah, bigger and better. We've taken a lot of information from the pop-ups we've done, because technically they were, you know, Manchester was a good opportunity for us to see whether it could handle volume in Freight Island. The Hare and Hounds was still my favourite pub. It's got the best music programme. And I enjoyed being there, and it did suit it for me. But I feel like for us to have our own vibe, we need our own site. And it has got its own vibe. It's got a big connection to like that sort of scene. So I think what we're planning to do with where we're having it is going to be, it's going to be the one. And it's going to be somewhere you know very well.
Yeah, I know. Holly told me a lot when she was having a drink on
Holly
her birthday.
Holly loves a drink on her birthday and a blab.
A birthday blab. And all I can say is that when the site's confirmed, perfect footfall, ideal crowd, and the plans sound fucking awesome. We're going to wrap it up there.
I appreciate it.
Brad, I'm going to leave you to get back to service. Thanks so much for taking time to speak to us again. If you're yet to experience Carter's at 18, the dining room, when you see it, how they've decorated it, is the perfect backdrop to your food. I think one of the things I've always said about you as a chef is that you are so Birmingham-centric. Your love of this city is so profound that when you put yourself overlooking the entire city, it almost feels almost poetically right.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's why I chose that room. You know, we were allowed to look at the space and talk about where it was going to be, but I just walked in there, and you have to have a bit of vision because it is a boardroom in the daytime.
Yeah.
But what we've made it, like you said, and what we turn it into for service, even in the day, it feels lovely for lunch, but then at night, it's just a twinkle, and it's the best city in the world.
I've eaten many a pepperoni in the back of that section.
And everyone wonders why you are who you are.
I'm a fucking great guy.
Simon Carlo, we do it.